Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab. Adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
This is the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. I'm Andrea Bernstein, sitting in for Brian for the rest of the week. Speaking of distraction, an article in the current issue of Atlantic Monthly says the rules of the road are harming drivers more than they're helping. There were nearly 1,500 car accident-related deaths in New York in 2006, according to the Department of Transportation. But would the streets be any safer if all the traffic signs posted around the city were suddenly gone? John Stadden is a professor of psychology and brain sciences at Duke University. He also wrote the column Distracting Miss Daisy in the current issue of Atlantic Monthly. John Stadden, welcome to WNYC.
Hi. Glad to be here.
In your piece, you say that the forest of signs along American roadways are doing more harm than help. Now, that is certainly counterintuitive. Why is that?
Well, I think you have to think of the driving environment as a sort of education. I mean, the original title of my article was actually Driver Miseducation. And I noticed that it all started because I drive a lot in England as well as in America. And I noticed that although the roads here, I'm in England right now, are very cluttered and crowded with cars and so on, first of all, it's less irritating to drive here. I didn't find myself being told to do things that didn't make much sense, like stop at a completely empty intersection or go at 50 miles an hour on an empty highway. I noticed that, and I also noticed that when I went back to America, that there were incredible numbers of signs that seemed quite unnecessary. I mean, the four-way stop is something completely unknown in England, for example. And indeed, you hardly ever see a stop sign in England. When I gave talks on this and mentioned that to people, they say, well, how could this possibly be? How could you have a country without any stop signs and so on? So I began to look into it, and I found, first of all, by looking at the fatality statistics, that the difference between the U.S. and England is enormous. There are roughly 6,000 more fatalities per year in the United States than there would be if we in the U.S. had the same accident rate as England. And that's an enormous number. I mean, that's 1.5 times as many Americans as have died in Iraq in 5 years. I mean, it's an extraordinary disparity.
You're currently in London as a visiting professor at the University of York. I mean, I'm wondering if there's something, though, about British society that doesn't require people to...
I'm sorry, your signal keeps coming and going on this telephone.
I'm sorry, I was just wondering if there's something about British society and British cultural norms that could have to do with that, if it's something other than signs. I mean, in Britain, at least my perception is people are more likely to sort of stop for you, to open the door, to let you pass, whereas, you know, particularly in New York, it's every person for themselves when you get to a street corner or anywhere else, a doorway.
So you think just the Brits are more polite?
I'm wondering if that has to do with it.
I'm not sure. I mean, London is now a very, very mixed city. I mean, I grew up in London, and London is now completely changed from what it was when I first grew up. I don't think the people in New York are any less polite or impolite than the ones in London. So I don't think you can. First of all, I don't think you can see any obvious characteristic of the people that's different. And the second thing is, if they were different, you'd have to ask why. I mean, it's probably got something to do with the environment in which they've grown up. The other thing is, I should say that I've been around for a long time here, and I've noticed quite a big change in the way in which traffic is regulated and so on. It's was much more chaotic, I would say, 40 years ago than it is now. And indeed, the fatality statistics reflect that. I mean, the Brits have been able to reduce their fatalities something like 50% over the last couple of decades. I mean, really a huge drop, whereas over the same period in the U.S. there was only a 20% decline. So
now,
they're obviously doing something. It's not just the character of the people.
You've sort of talked about the idea of, you know, if you look at a stop sign, you're looking off the road, or if you look at a flashing sign that says 15 miles per hour, you are distracted from the curve that may be right ahead of you. On the other hand, I wonder if you driving along, if you didn't have that sign, whether you would just be speeding along at 40 miles an hour and not stop.
Well, that's a very good point. And indeed, I'm up in Yorkshire right now, which is quite hilly in places and so on, and there are main roads with big curves and so on. In America, they probably would put up a speed limit sign, and there'd probably be some guy there with a radar gun who'd pick you up if you did the wrong thing. Here, they just have a warning sign. So if you're coming up to a curve like that one on Glebe Road in North Glebe Road in Arlington that I wrote about, there wouldn't be a speed limit. There would be big arrows to indicate that there's a curve coming up. In other words, the whole emphasis, and by the way, I don't want to say that the British signs are perfect, far from it, but the emphasis here is much more on information and much less on control and punishment than is the case in the U.S. In the U.S., the emphasis is very much on enforcement, and the problem is that the enforcement tends to take place when it's safe to violate the speed limits. So it's explicitly teaching you or training the drivers to do the wrong thing, maybe look for the signs or look at their speedometer or something, and not look at the road. Another point I should make is that where there are unpredictable changes in speed limits, in England there are only three standard speed limits, 70 miles an hour on what they call motorways, 60 miles an hour on single-lane roads, and 30 miles an hour in town. And you know, therefore, from the character of the road what the speed limit is. They don't have signs. But once in a while, of course, they do change them. And then the change will typically be not just the sign, but right on the road in front of you. So it's where you're supposed to be looking. You don't have to look around to find it.
So you were talking about sort of Britain, U.S. What about Paris? What about Beijing? I mean, what do we know from those other cultures about how these road signs are working?
Well, that's a good question, and I did a little bit of research on that. In fact, one of the versions of the article is going to have comparisons with France and Germany. I think the continent tends to be somewhat in between Britain and the U.S. And in the U.K., for some reason, I don't know the history of it, but they're very, very conservative about signs. Apparently, you have to get permission from Whitehall in London to put up a stop sign. You know, if you want to put up a stop sign at some little village in Scotland, you've got to get permission from the central authority to do it. So they're very careful about putting out signs. I think they're somewhat less careful in France and Germany. They do have a few stop signs, but not nearly as many as you see in the U.S. And you don't have my favorite abomination, the four-way stop sign, which is the most bizarre.
I hate them.
Everybody hates them, and they're actually very, very dangerous. And the one picture of the many that I sent them that the Atlantic actually used was a picture of a stop sign, and underneath it another little sign, well, not so little, several words on it, takes you a second or two to read it, which says cross traffic does not stop. Now, what does that mean? It means that people are not taking stop signs seriously because they don't make sense.
Well, or it may be that there's no stop sign there. I'm speaking with
This is a stop sign with a sign under it.
Oh, with another
sign. Big stop,
I see.
And then under it.
Right, so that you don't, right, so that you're looking for the cars coming.
Yeah.
My guess is John Statton of Duke University, who actually is in London right now. He's a visiting...
No, I'm in Yorkshire.
Oh, you're in Yorkshire. Forgive me. You're in Britain.
Yeah. I'd be very unhappy if I didn't say that.
So a visiting professor of the University of York. I'm wondering what I would know about, if I really can't read maps or don't understand geography anymore. Let's take some of your calls at 646 on 778-3729, 646-778-3729. Give us your calls about driving, what distracts you when you're driving, or maybe when you're walking, or maybe when you're riding your bicycle. You know, one of the things about the sort of cultural mores and the traffic signs that I wonder is last year I spent the year in California, and I noticed that everybody stopped at stop signs, including four-way stop signs. It was perfectly safe to allow my then 8-year-old daughter to ride her bike on the street because people respected the bike lanes. They would stop for you if you were riding a bike. This is completely different in New York. It's every person for himself. If you're out in a bike lane, you can be in a bright green marked bike lane and you will have all kinds of trucks driving in or cars parked there. So I'm wondering, is this because of the signage or is it because of something else?
Well, I think one reason that riding a bicycle in the U.S. can be very dangerous is the kind of inattentional blindness that the environment provokes. In other words, people simply do not see people on bicycles.
Isn't it fascinating? And I notice it comes from pedestrians, too, because I notice when I'm in the bike lane, people are standing in the road, which is something they do in New York. You know, they step off the curb in preparation get ready to go, and then they're on their cell phones. So they don't see you coming down in the bike lane, even when you have the right-of-way and you have the green light.
Yeah, I must say, York is really a very good place for bicycles. And apparently, one of the two best places in the UK for bicycles, Cambridge and York, are the two best places. And they have very well-marked bike lanes and a lot of cyclists and so on, and it's not really much of a problem. And they also are very clever in the way they make allowances for bicyclists, so that if you come up in your car to a stoplight, in front of you on the road will be a green area of about 10 or 20 feet in front of the stoplight. And that's a sort of wobble area for bicycles. So the bicycles stop ahead of the cars, and when the lights change, then they start and wobble in that area that's completely free from cars. So there's a lot of provision of that sort. But I do think that in the U.S., I mean, I've known a couple of people have been killed on bicycles in the area where we live in North Carolina. I mean, it's a terribly dangerous thing.
As a matter of fact, in New York, they have all of these white ghost bicycles to post where bicyclists have been killed around the city. I do want to get to the phone calls, and know I'm hoping that this show hasn't been far too distracting for people. We're talking about keeping your eyes on the road while you're on the road. Call us and tell us the most distracting thing that you or other drivers do. The phone number is 646-778-3329 or 646-SPUD-RAY. The number is 646-778-3329. I'm sorry, I'm being a little bit distracted by a voice in my ear, but that's what we're talking about. Kim from Ridgewood, New Jersey. Hi, you're on WNYC.
Hi. I was just wondering if our guests could talk about the fact that I think it's much easier to get a license here. So I just find I've driven in Europe a lot, and I lived in London for a while, and I worked on getting my license over there. And it was just they take it a lot more seriously. It's a lot harder to get a driver's license. I think any idiot really here can get a driver's license. My sister-in-law one time got one by mistake. She went in to get a learner's permit, and they handed her a license. This was in Nebraska, but she got a driver's license never having taken any kind of test at all.
All right. John Stanton.
Well, that's a first. I did have a friend whose cat got a credit card, but it's the first time. I think that probably beats the other, but it's less dangerous, perhaps, than giving a total novice a driver's license. Well, the driving license requirements here are pretty severe. I mean, people have to take courses and so on. It's very expensive and all that. And, in fact, one of the commentators on my Atlantic article said, well, you know, a lot more people drive in the U.S. proportionately than drive in England and so on. But, in fact, the number of proportion of the population that drives in England has gone up, I'm sure, continuously over the years, and yet their accident rate has gone down. And the other point is that, of course, most of your training in driving is after you get the license. It's the experience that you have on the roads. That may go on for 20 or 30 or 50 years, whereas the training for your license is just a month or two.
Let's go to Kate from Amerimac. Thanks, Kim, for your call. Kate, hi. You're on the Brian Lehrer Show.
Hi, thanks. I'm also a Brit who is living in New York, and I totally agree with much of the commentary that we've just had. I think that in America they tend to dumb you down. They don't give you the ability to make a judgment call, and so people just switch off, just like in your previous show, talking about listening to the GPS. You just don't know your way around anymore because you just listen to the GPS. You come to a stop sign.
You don't even know where you are.
Yeah, you brake at the stop sign, and the minute you brake, you start again. You know, in England, they've got give way signs. So you've got to think about what you're doing. You're driving down, you look if there's anyone coming. You know you've got the right of way, but you know you've got to watch out for other people. And it keeps you more active and more alert and making judgments as to, okay, I've got to slow down, there's a bend coming up, instead of, all right, I've got to go down to, you know, 15 miles an hour at this point.
Now, Kate, do you think that's something that's culturally true overall in the U.S., or do you think it's only when it comes to road signs?
I think overall, you know, it is much more of a sense of control. They don't let people make their own mistakes and their own judgment calls. So people just follow the rules, and they can't think on, you know, around the rules. Can't think of, well, what's the point of this sign? Well, the point of this sign is that there could be rocks falling down.
Kate, I'm sorry, but we're out of time. Thank you so much for calling in. And I wanted to ask you very quickly, John Stadden, is that true? Is it true overall culturally about the U.S., or are we only talking about road signs?
Well, it's hard to say, but I think the road signs are, in some ways, a unique thing, because the biggest difference, and I really wanted to say this at least one time before we get off the air, the big difference is that in England, it's all centrally controlled. So there's consistency over the whole country, and there's a concern about the whole driving environment. In the U.S., it's local. I mean,
we have to go. John Stadden of Duke University, thank you so much. Sorry to distract everyone. Thanks so much to everyone who called. I'm Andrea Bernstein, in for Brian Lehrer.